Let me say good morning to everyone this morning. Thank you for being with us. You've chosen to worship with us on this morning. And we're thankful to have you here. And as we just sung, there's no friend like Jesus. No friend like Jesus. You have Jesus as a friend. Yeah, you got it all. You got it all. The Lord talks about, and I think James wrote about how Abraham was called, James 2 and verse 23, he was called a friend of God because Abraham trusted in God and believed in God. Amen? Again, we want to thank all those that are with us this morning, those that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know you are our VIPs. You are very important persons. We want you to know that we love you. God loves you, and it's our responsibility to share that love with you that God has for you. The Bible teaches that our purpose for assembling in worship this morning is to worship God in spirit and in truth. God has commanded that we assemble for that purpose. In Acts 2 and verse number 42, the Bible says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer." So we find when we assemble to worship God, there are four acts that the Bible, Luke, wrote for us. When they first assembled after the ascension of Christ, they had the apostles' teaching. The apostles taught them. We're going to teach you from the apostles' doctrine on this morning. Fellowship is when we give back to God a portion of what God has given to us. So I need to understand my faithfulness to God is also part of my giving to God. Then we commune with God, the breaking of bread. And if we are thoughtful, our minds go back to the suffering that Jesus did on the cross. Mm-hmm. For my sins, yours, he suffered with nails in his hands, nails in his feet. So we take the Lord's Supper. It allows us to go back, as was shared with us, by Christ's body being broken and the blood that was shed, fruit of the vine, for all of us, for our sins. And then we pray to God. Men lead in prayer. Amen? And then the Bible teaches us in verse 47, Luke penned, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So when we praise God, the Hebrew writer said, it's done with the fruit of our lips. We do not use mechanical instruments in our praise to God. God gave us all that we needed to praise him. And we praise God. We're thankful to God for what God has done in our lives and what he's able to do in our lives. And then if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not according to the Bible. Yeah, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Yeah, such should be saved. And so we want to know from that text that until you are added to the church, you are not saved. Yeah, amen. You're not saved. And so it's my responsibility as a gospel preacher at the close of my message, I'm going to share with you specifically what God has commanded, what Jesus has commanded for one to become a Christian. Again, you're not saved from your sins until you obey the Lord and culminate that obedience in water baptism for the forgiveness of all your past sins. Amen? Amen. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we are finishing this letter. The Apostle Paul was coming to the close of this letter to Timothy, as well as near the close of his life on earth. And he left Timothy with these words that hopefully would encourage us. My subject this morning, Paul told him, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me. Yeah, when you're a friend of the Lord will stand with you.
Yes, he will.
And he'll also strengthen you. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to pick up on this morning, on this lesson, that we close again. Paul, we ended on verse 13 last Sunday. And so we pick up with the next verse, in verse number 14. Where Paul, in his closing thoughts to Timothy, who he was his mentor, he said to Timothy, he said, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. The word coppersmith simply means one who works with copper. So Alexander's secular job, he was a coppersmith. But Paul shares with us, not only was he a coppersmith, but he caused Paul, the Bible says, much evil. Yeah, there's some people in your life that can cause you much evil. Yeah, but again, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to encourage him. And the thing he said to him, Paul told him, he acknowledged that the Lord rewards everyone according to their actions. Yeah. Yeah. You may get by, but you won't get away. Yeah. So when people do you wrong, people do things that the Lord teaches us, our mindset when it comes to those that do not treat us right. Yeah, we have to understand that the judgment of God is holy and for certain. People will do you wrong. Yeah, Brother, what's my attitude when people do wrong? Get your Bibles. Let's use our Bibles this morning. Look in Romans chapter 12. What I do when people cause me much evil, they do me wrong. Yeah, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, Romans 12 and verse 17, let me teach us as Christians. Because some people say, well, if they do it to me, I'm going to do it back to them. That's not Christianity. Because he said in verse 17 of Romans 12, he said, the Bible reads, recompense to no man evil for evil. The word recompense means to pay back. The Lord said, don't pay back nobody for doing you wrong. Well, Brother Stroud, he did me this way, and she did this to me. I got it. No, you ain't got to. Sometimes we just want to. Yeah, but as you grow as a Christian, that want to leads from you. Yeah. Paul said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18, Romans 12. He said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with who? Yeah. What the Lord is saying to me, Horace Stroud, if it depends on you, you live peaceably with all people. Yeah. You can't come to worship God. Well, you can, but you're not in a problem when you come and you have aughts and different things against other people. No, you need to go. We talked about it before. You need to go and rectify that. You know, I need to go and say, brother, can I speak to you for a minute? You know, and I need to be able to share with him. If I've been offended, share with him. If I offended somebody, I need to apologize. That's why the Lord said, if it be possible, live peace with all men. Notice he said, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. The Bible says, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And then he tells us the answer to the question. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with what? Yeah. That's how we overcome evil. Yeah, people treat you wrong, you just love them. Yeah. People don't like you, love them some more. People hate you, just keep loving them. Yeah, the Bible says, love your enemies. So Paul, he just wanted Timothy to know about Alexander. And then he told him why you need to be mindful of him. Verse 15. Okay. I'm not working. All right. Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. We'll let them work on that. If you get me working, let me know. Amen? All right. So look at verse 15. We still got Bibles. Amen. We still got Bibles. Yeah. If you get it working, just put me back up. He says, notice now, he says, of whom be thou where also? Yeah. Be thou where also? For he has greatly withstood our words. Let me just say this to church. The reason I like to have my sermon up because sometimes we have different versions of Bibles. Amen. And so my purpose for that is that you can follow along as I'm using the King James Version. Yeah, so you can follow along. So that's one of the main purposes, so you can follow along. Well, Paul told Timothy, he said, now, let me tell you something. The word where means to beware. Yeah, he said, beware of him. Yeah. Yeah, watch out for him. The word where means a state in which someone is carefully watching. Paul was telling him to be on guard for this person. Why, Paul? For he has greatly withstood our words. The Apostle Paul warns Timothy to watch this person. When a person opposes the word of God, they should be watched. Yeah. Also, because of their behavior, some cannot be trusted. You can't trust everybody in the church. Yeah, why you say that, Bob? Because some Christians will try and disguise who they truly are. Now, they had a song back when I was coming up. I know y'all ain't never been out in the world, but I was out there. Yeah. That song says, smiling in your face.
All the time.
They want to. They're what? Yeah. You got that in the church. You got members that will backstab other members. Yeah, so what Paul was telling, be watchful for people when they show you their behavior. And especially once you find out they will lie, they will cheat. Yeah. You know, the old people say if they lie, they'll steal. If they steal, they'll. Yeah, because what old people taught you back then is that when they start losing their morals, they'll keep going down the road. Yeah. Paul said, watch him. That's the reason for the warning that Paul gave him. You know, I ain't no fool at Highland Heights. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody don't care for Brother Stroud. That's fine. But I'm going to just keep loving you.
Amen.
Loving you.
That's what you do.
And when I do kind stuff to you and you don't care for me, I hope what the scripture says is like hot coals burning you up.
No.
That's what you do to them. Just burn them up. And if you see smoke come out their ears and smoke come out their shoes, you know you're burning them up. Yeah. Remind me when I was a little kid, remember we used to watch The Wizard of Oz? Y'all remember that? And you had the good witch and the bad witch. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
And then the one thing the bad witch didn't want was water. And remember she poured that water on and she just started scribbling down. Yeah, that's how you got to do with some members in the church. Just pour water on them. Pour water on them. All these, you know what I'm saying? Like I tell people, don't hate the players, learn to love the game. Your problem is you don't care for the game.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I hate the players. Well, that's your problem. Love the game.
No.
Yeah, and you will stop hating players.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of us, we done but players. Amen. In a good sense. Let me be careful with that. Yeah, yeah. But that's what the text is saying. We got to be mindful of people. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. Be mindful. Man, I'm finna get off the scene, but I want you to be, watch that guy, man. Watch that guy. When somebody do something to you and you can't trust them, keep your eye on them. Keep the eye on them. Because people will tell you, man, you know I love you. I love you. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking for that knife. I'm looking for that knife. Yeah, especially if he got his hand behind the back. He said, Brother Brown, you know I love you. Let me see your hands, brother. Yeah. And nowadays, you got to say, let me see your hands, sister. Yeah, because they ain't just brothers.
Nah.
Sisters will hate too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, sisters, when they hate, it's more subtle. Yeah, you walk away, how I start bleeding? When, who cut me? That's the same sister that spoke to you, brother. Yeah. But Paul said, watch this now. He said, my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But watch the mindset. See, this is when you grow as a Christian. Paul said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Yeah. The Apostle Paul says, not a single person had the courage to stand up for him. Now, it appears as though Paul was on trial. I'll show you that in the next verse. But Paul said that nobody stood with me. And I want to say to Harlem Heights, the Lord need men and women who are not fearful to stand up for what is right. Yeah. We need people that's going to stand up for what's right. And don't be influenced by those that are hating. Yeah. But Paul said, nobody stood with me. The word answer gives me the impression it was he was on trial because the word answer means a speech in his defense. Paul said I had to defend myself, and while I was trying to defend myself, I was on trial. Nobody stood with me. The Apostle Paul was in a trial for his life. Each one of us are in the trial of life. Yeah. Trial means a test. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. Let me show you. Yeah, because all of us are going to have a test of life. And the only way we are successful, John wrote in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. This is the trial of life. John said, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Yeah. The thing that's going to get you through is your faith. And you got to have faith. You got to trust in God. John said, the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, yeah, I got to have trust in Jesus. Yeah. So we, all of us, Paul was on trial for his life. He'll say that in the text. He was on trial for his life. But I'm saying to each of us, we're in the trial of life. And sometimes as Christians, we can give up. Yeah. Life starts getting the best of us. And then if we're not careful, the Bible talks about three types of faith: great faith, little faith, and no faith. Yeah, so it's about what kind of faith do I have? Paul said this, though. He said, notwithstanding, he said, the Lord, that's my title right there. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He said that by me, the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And he said, then I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know, go back there, you go read Daniel, how they would put you in them. They would put you in a lion's den. Yeah, so Paul knew what they wanted to do to him. Paul said this, and I'm saying to every person, every Christian this morning, you have to understand that the Lord stood with you. The Lord does. The word stood means come to assist. The Lord does that. And Paul said, not only stood with me, but he strengthened me. And that's going to be my message this afternoon. I'm going to talk about how God strengthened us on this afternoon message. But right now, we're talking about what does it mean that the Lord stood with me? The Apostle Paul drew strength from the fact that the Lord stood with him.
Amen.
How did he do that? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. How's the Lord? What does it mean for the Lord to stand with me? What does it mean? In John chapter 20, in verse number 18, when Jesus he rose from the dead and Mary Magdalene, John 20, 18, when he met Mary and told Mary in verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned herself and she said, Master. And Jesus told her, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, verse 18, that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. See, don't understand this here. All of us can sometimes get scared. The Bible says they was fearful of the Jews. The Bible says came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. See, when you know that Jesus is standing with you, that scripture takes life in you. Yeah. The Bible said when Jesus came and stood in the midst, just like when Paul said, the Lord stood with me. The Lord told Paul, Paul, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them, notice now, he said, look at my hands and his side where they pierced him. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And know, those of us that are Christians, we walk not by sight, but we walk by
faith.
Yeah. So I got to, just as Jesus was with them, I have to know when I'm going through some stuff and I'm doing what's right, I have to understand that Jesus is saying to me, peace be unto you. Yeah. I know Stevie Wonder had a song. He said, don't you worry about a... Yeah. Yeah. Don't you worry about a thing. Yeah. And so we got to live a life where we don't worry. Yeah. Yeah. And I've showed you in the text from Matthew 6:34, that worrying is sin. Yeah. For a Christian to worry is sin. Yeah, we ought to be concerned, but we don't worry. Because of the fact, worry carries with it a negative connotation. When I go to the doctor, I'm worried about the test results. No, I take Jesus with me. And whatever the results are, me and Jesus are going to deal with them. Yeah. Yeah. Am I concerned? Yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm not going to worry. Because sometimes we can worry ourselves to nothing. Yeah. Jesus told them, peace be unto you. We need to know that when we are doing that which is right, the Lord is standing there with us.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, I may do some wrong. Yeah. And understand, you still got to just God. I got to ask God, I got to repent of my sin and ask for forgiveness. But when I'm doing what's right, Paul said, I'm not worried. He said, notice, he said, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Yeah, they wanted to put me in that lion den, but he said, the Lord delivered me. And I was able, he said, that I may preach the word of God and make it fully known to the Gentiles. They might hear. My responsibility is to preach the word of God without fear or favor. Amen, somebody. And hopefully I'm appreciated for the fact that I teach God's words in its simplicity and logical and in its simplicity. Yeah, we can understand what the word of God is saying so we can apply it to our lives. And then Paul said, and the Lord shall deliver me from, notice what the Bible says now. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, heaven. He said, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, the Apostle Paul writes that God will be with him and not allow evil to win. Even though people do things to you, they won't win. That's what I got to believe. Paul said that. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And God, the word preserve means to save me unto what? That heavenly kingdom. I'm on my way to heaven. Yeah. And because of that, we should always give honor to God for what he has done in our life. Yes, sir. And what he's able to do. Paul said to him, the word glory means honor. How often, Paul? Forever and ever. Amen. And then he closed his letter by sharing with Timothy, some of the people that helped him. He said, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household Onesiphorus. He said, also Erectus, abide at Corinth. He said, but Trimisphius, he said, have I left alone at Militum sick. Let me just share this while I'm there. I want to share this with you. We have people get sick, and we'll pray for them. We'll pray for them. But I want us to know, as a congregation, that we do not live in the miraculous age. Yeah. Yeah. What was my going to 1 Corinthians 12? I want to share this with us. Because we got to know when we pray for people. Yeah. In 1 Corinthians 12, there were 9 gifts that when the apostles, and I taught this earlier in Acts 8, when the apostle would lay hands on people and they would have gifts. Yeah. And Paul enumerated those gifts for our close. So we'll know how we to pray for people. The Bible says, Paul said, well, I'm going to start at verse number 1. I got a couple of minutes. I'm going to start there. I don't like to start sometime in the middle because sometimes you can miss what it said. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. You had idols back then. He said, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. He said, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same self-same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh in them. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. He said, for to one is given, now he started enumerating those gifts. By the Spirit of word, by the Spirit, one had the word of wisdom. He said, to another, the word of knowledge. That's knowledge where they didn't have to study the word of God, but they still had knowledge by the self-same spirit. And to another, faith by the spirit. And to another, the gifts of healing by the spirit. There was those that had the gift, they could lay hands on a person and heal them. And to another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. And to another, diversity of tongues. There was those that could speak another language as the apostle did and did not have to study. They knew the language. And to another, the interpretation of spirit. But all these worketh the one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So now we do know from Acts chapter 8, while I'm here, let's go to Acts 8. I preached it before. I need to teach it. I can share it again. Acts chapter 8. And I started verse number 13, Acts 8:13. I just want to share this for us so we'll know when we're praying for people how God works in the lives of people. The Bible says in Acts 8:13, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent down Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of who? So that teaches us that just because a person is baptized, they don't receive what we think is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that right there clearly. Only they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. They became Christians, but Peter and John, when they got there, it hadn't fallen on them. Then, watch what happened. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he might receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thou money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with what?
Money.
Yeah. So now, the Holy Ghost, and it's through the laying on the apostles' hand. Okay, so then, Brother Stroud, how does the Holy Spirit work in us? I think a brother taught that recently in Romans chapter 8. Share this with us. Romans chapter 8. Yeah. In verse number 14, Romans 8:14, Paul said, or wrote, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Yeah, so now we are led by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. The Spirit teaches Horace Stroud how to be a good husband. I'm led. Teach me how to be a good father. The Holy Spirit teaches me through the word. Yeah. Well, but don't I have Jesus with me? Don't I have a Christ? Yes, you do. But you got to know how. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Share that with us. Yeah, I have Jesus with me. Yeah. I have Jesus. Know what the Bible says in Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Yeah. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of
God.
Yeah. I have Christ with me, but it's by faith. Yeah. I have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it leads me through the word. Through the word. So what are you saying, Brother Stroud? So what I'm saying to us as I close. God works through natural laws, not miraculous. So when we pray for people, those that are sick, we pray, or I pray, that the treatment, the administration of care that they are given, God works through natural laws today. Here. So when I go see the doctor, he's an expert. And he give me something for my, if I were taking something for blood pressure, for the diabetes, he's giving those based on his medical knowledge. He's the expert. Amen, somebody. Amen. Yeah, so we pray for people. When we start saying, well, Lord, would you just heal them? God does not work miraculously. We are not in the miraculous age. Yeah. Where is that in the Bible, Brother Stroud? I'm glad you asked that question. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yeah, do some teaching up in here. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, now Paul had just talked to him about spiritual gifts in chapter 12. And again, when we read the 1 Corinthians, it's not man put it in chapters. Paul wrote one continuous letter to them. But in what we call 1 Corinthians 13 in verse number 8, he say charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall what? Fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall. Whether there be knowledge, it shall. Now, what Paul was talking about, those that had the gift of prophecy, those that had the gift of speaking in tongues, those that had the gift of knowledge where they didn't have to study the word of God, Paul said that was going to vanish away. When, Paul? I'm glad you asked that question. He said, for when we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is what? Is then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now watch, Paul gave his analogy here. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a what? I put away. The church needed those miraculous gifts when it was a child. Watch this here now. If all of us came to Houston and we were taught the word of God, we didn't have no Bibles then. I go back to Florida. The only way I'm able to teach somebody in Florida was unless I had the knowledge to teach them. That makes sense what I'm saying? So it was necessary back then. But Paul gave the answer. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is impartial done away with. When you have the Bible complete, you don't need those things no more. Paul, when do we have the Bible complete? Turn to James chapter 1. Let me answer that. James chapter 1. When was the Bible complete? Look for the word perfect. Because Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part going to be done away with. In James chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 22. He said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Watch verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the what? The perfect law of liberty. What James was saying then, the word of God is complete. He said, whosoever looketh into the complete law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now we have the complete word of God. We don't need nobody to speak in a language they didn't know, because we can go study the word of God and we can read it for ourselves. Amen? But back then, when those individuals, Acts 2:38, the apostles laid hands on them. So when they, remember, you had people from about 15 different areas that came to Jerusalem. They was commanded to come back. And on that day, when the apostles baptized them, they laid hands on them. They gave them gifts that was necessary because the church was in its infancy. Yeah. That's why Paul in Acts 19, he laid hands on those brothers after he baptized them. Amen? So again, you may have those that are sick. We pray for them. and pray for those that are caring for them. I think I like my brother always say that we pray for those that administer and care to them, that God will work through those individuals. Yeah.
Paul said, now Paul could have healed him in verse number 20.
He said, but I left him in Miletum. I left him there sick. Yeah, because the miraculous age is coming to a close. Then he said, do thy diligence to come before winter. See, Eubulus greeted thee, and Pudens, and Linnaeus, and all the brethren. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Then he said, grace be to you. Amen. Paul knew he was, from history said, that he was headed toward Nero's chopping block. Going to have his head chopped off. He knew that. But for him to stand bold, and he warned Timothy to watch for some things. You know, watch for Alexander. You know, he don't care for you, man. He don't care for nobody. He don't care for the word of God. And there are Christians, amen, that don't care for the word of God. Yeah. We got to be mindful. We still, as I said in my message, we still got to learn to love everybody. Amen. You got to have a spirit where you love everybody, even those people that do you wrong. When people do you wrong, you still love them. That's one sign that you're growing. That's a sign. Yeah, when you can love, when you know somebody don't care for you, when you know somebody do something wrong for you, when you know they do that to you, and you still love them. Yeah. What you mean by that, Buster? Somebody don't care for me, the car break down, they stand out there on the corner, and I drive out there, and some of us are just pushed down hard on the gas pedal. Yeah. But no, what you're supposed to do is, sister, can I help you? Brother, can I help you? Yeah. And then that's when the hot coals shape on their head. Amen? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, share with you what the Lord says. How did one become a Christian? You here this morning, you want to be a Christian. You got to listen to Jesus. I want you to know from 1 Timothy 2:5 that there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man. You got to know that the mediator between you and God is Jesus Christ. And what the Bible teaches us, that Jesus gave himself a ransom. He died for us. Ransom is something paid for the release of someone from captivity. When you have broken the law of God, you now are a slave to sin. What Christ did, he gave up his life for your sins. And now you just got to be obedient to what God has said. What is obedience? Jesus said five things in Luke 11:28. He said, blessed are they that hear the word of God. So you got to hear something, and then you got to keep it. That means do it. Okay? Secondly, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he sent. So you got to believe that God sent Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't go to heaven if you don't believe that. It starts with that belief. Thirdly, he said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What do you mean? Whatever life you've been living away from God. You got to turn toward God. That's where repentance starts. Okay? I turn toward God. I want to serve God. I want to be a Christian. What else I got to do? Then Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, but whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. So you got to come up here and you have to make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. And then the last act you have to do, culminated, Jesus said, unto them, unto his apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel has three facts: that Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine, he was buried in a tomb, he rose again the third day. And then Jesus told him, he that believeth in him, you got to be baptized, shall be saved from their past sin. Yeah. So if you're here this morning and you have not done that, yeah, life doesn't start for you spiritually until you obey God. Yeah, you come up here, you give me your hand, give the Lord your heart, you make the statement, I believe. I ask you one question. Do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? You'll make the statement, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then we will water baptize you. You repent of your sin, we'll water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sin. Then the Lord, not us, the Lord would add you to the Church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. There's someone today that would like to respond to the gospel message. We bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
God save. his son. They call him
Jesus. Anyone want to obey the word of God?
He came to love,
heal
and forgive. Savior live, because he live, I can face tomorrow, because he live, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.